walking with the Lord. Amen. As we come to the book of Nehemiah, we don't see him walking through the flames, but we see him with that same God that gave protection. We see this same God that Nehemiah serves. Nehemiah chapter 2. As we have left the book of Ezra and we come to Nehemiah, it's a continuing on of the account there that we see with the Israel that have been carried away captive, gone back in Ezra with the rebuilding of the temple, and now as we've come to Nehemiah, and he gets word of the place that is what has taken place there with the walls of Jerusalem still lying waste, and we see that grief that comes to him. We made note last week as we looked at this that our Bible deals with those things that relate to his own people and nations as they revolve around him. We noted that though there were great and mighty nations as the world looked at them, what we see the Lord revealing to us are those things as it related to his people that were a remnant of a people here, a people that were even carried away, that he had caused those things to be as they had gone to him, as they had gone away from him in their own wickedness, in their own sin. And the Lord uses that even for his own people to seek to bring them back to himself. We have seen that the Lord is dealing with Israel. The Lord is dealing with his people. Though they have been carried away captive, he's not forgotten them. And we could, if you follow the history of the Jews, even as we see them in our own day, there are promises that the Lord has made to them. There are promises that are yet to take place. Back in the 1800s, people would have said, well, there is no nation of Israel. They're scattered all over. It'll never be. But we see where the Lord is bringing them back together. Yes, as an unbelieving people, as ones that have not received the Lord. But the Lord is going to work, and that's not our message today, but the Lord is going to work, and he's going to draw them to himself, and he is dealing with them even today. The Lord keeps his promises, and we can always depend upon that. We need to remember that, even as we study the scriptures and see how the Lord carries and fulfills his promises of the past, he will also fulfill the promises that he has made in the future, and we can depend upon him. In the time frame of our study, we recognize from Ezra. Ezra has been in Jerusalem now for about 13 years. The temple has been finished for about 70 years. Artaxerxes, whom the Lord had moved his heart for Ezra, is still king there in Persia and over Babylon. When we come here to Nehemiah and we see the state of the city, the living conditions that are there, we come to what we read last week in seeing how Ezra comes before the Lord in prayer. If I get these mixed up, you'll just have to figure out which one I mean, okay? Sorry. We're talking about Nehemiah today, okay? So whatever I say, just think Nehemiah. Sorry about that. Nehemiah put his own desires for the needs of his people away, having compassion upon his own people. And so we saw him weeping and mourning before the Lord for a period of time, as it said, certain days. We see him fasting and praying. We see him before the God of heaven, seeking the Lord. We saw his prayer, that it was a humble prayer. It was a reverent prayer before the Lord. He prayed to God who keeps covenant. He prayed to God who has mercy for those that love him. He prayed that the Lord's ear would be attentive unto his prayer. It was a penitent prayer. It was a prayer of repentance, confessing that the sin of his and his father's house, the sin of his people, how they had so corruptly gone against the Lord. He urges for mercy for his people. He urges for mercy on the basis of from verses 8 and 9 of the last chapter, on the basis of God's previous word to Moses. On the basis of their relationship to him, we saw in verse 10 of chapter 1. On the basis of how he had previously worked on their behalf, from verse 10. And then he asked the Lord in verse 11 of the last chapter that he would prosper him and give him favor with the king. Nehemiah, he has fasted and prayed many days, but the Lord had not opened the door for him to go and help his people. Some months have passed. What would the Lord have him to do? He's had a great burden upon his heart for a work. Should he do anything? Has the Lord heard? Oh, yes, the Lord heard. But we recognize, and we have to recognize, that the Lord's time is not our time. He works and moves according to his perfect timing. And that is something that we must recognize and look toward. So as we come to Nehemiah chapter 2, we've seen his prayer, and we will see if, again prayer, but we see coming an answer to that prayer. So we come to chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine, gave it to the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? Is this nothing else but sorrow of heart? And then I was sore afraid. Nehemiah has come to an unexpected situation. He's been waiting for months for an audience with the king. He is so engrossed with the needs of his people that I think he forgets about his attitude on the job. His countenance, his sad countenance is showing. Have you ever been in a situation where you're so engrossed in your thoughts about what can I do to do this? Even sometimes maybe there's somebody you've been praying for and you're in their presence and you've been praying for a door to open that you might witness to them and you could be so engrossed in the situation that you're not your normal self. I could see this easily being the situation there with Nehemiah. Certainly, he had this great burden upon his heart for his own people, and all of a sudden, Artaxerxes says, "What's wrong with you?" It's a situation that we wouldn't necessarily, just from what we hear him ask, we wouldn't necessarily think that it's something to be afraid of, because he says, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Why did he say, then I was very afraid? All of a sudden, fear came upon him. You know, I think as we think what made of the fearful situation, he was not to be sad before Artaxerxes. You know, it's kind of like we think of in the book of Esther when Esther was asked to go before the king, and she says, "You just don't do that, because you go before him without being called. It's going to be your neck, unless for some reason he would just decide, well, okay, I'll see you." And so, I would imagine that it was just you just don't be sad before the king. You don't bring your problems before him. And if you do, you're probably out. Nehemiah recognized that it showed that he was sad, and he had not even yet had opportunity to figure out how he was going to approach the king for what he was what he wanted to bring out before him. And so he said he was sore afraid. He was very afraid. It was something, fear came upon him. What do you do when somebody asks you a question and all of a sudden, you're in trouble? Well, I know what some of you do. What's wrong? Nothing. Nothing's wrong. don't you do that sometimes? You know, that wasn't, he didn't try to make excuse. He didn't say nothing was wrong. He recognized that he shouldn't have been sad before the king, but he's honest. I look at verse 3 and I just see that honest reply that he brings before Artaxerxes. You know, he starts out very honoring of his speaking there before Artaxerxes, as was the custom, long let the king live forever. Let the king live forever, but why shouldn't my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchers liest waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? He comes out very honestly giving what his situation is. You know, honesty is a godly characteristic. I think there in the book of Acts when they were looking for those that would serve in the position of deacon, and there in Acts 6 he says, "Brethren, look out among you seven honest men, seven men of honest report." Though sometimes we don't want to be honest, honesty is what honors the Lord, isn't it? We speak honestly. We speak what is right. And this, before Artaxerxes, this wasn't necessarily what he was looking for. I would assume that probably when Artaxerxes asked him that, he probably did it in that same tone he would have asked others. "Why is your countenance sad?" With probably not revealing anything that, I mean, obviously as we go through this, we recognize the Lord had been working on Artaxerxes' heart. And so even as he asked this question, there is a compassion there that we're going to see expressed. But when he asks it, Nehemiah recognizes, "I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble." But he gives an honest. He just comes out. He honestly speaks before him what the reason of his sad countenance is. And so that there, as he's honoring the Lord in his honesty, we see then the answer there of the king. Verse 4. "Then the king said unto me, 'For what dost thou make request?'" For what dost thou make request? There the king opened the door. Artaxerxes opens the door. He opens the door for what Nehemiah has been praying for this period of time. You know, we had mentioned a week or two ago the how important it is that we serve the Lord where He places us. Remember that Nehemiah was a captive. Nehemiah was even though he'd been given he's given a position here. How did he get to that position? He was an honorable man, even as he was there in a place that he would not have desired to have been. Obviously, he had a great desire for his own country, for his own people, even that is shown here in his prayer and recognizing that. But he's an honorable man, and he's a man that is serving the Lord where the Lord has put him. Again, we would seek to emphasize that, because here we see, I believe that Nehemiah has proved himself in the king's court. Nehemiah has proved himself in such a way that his sad countenance was overlooked by Artaxerxes. And so when the king responds, he responds with a response of asking him what he desired. The Lord was moving the king's heart. And I think that's something we want to recognize, and we recognize here because he asks, what is your request? It's like, what can I do for you, Nehemiah? Wow. What can I do for you, Nehemiah? What is your request? The Lord was moving in the king's heart. And so that door was opened, and even him asking such a thing, or what can I do? What is your request, Nehemiah? What would you like? What would you like me to do? It's interesting, the next thing that we see in this verse. Because here he says in verse 4, so I prayed to the God of heaven. So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king in verse 5, this is one of those times when you don't say, let's see, can you give me a couple weeks and I'll get back to you? I need to go bring this before the Lord. He said, so I prayed to the God of heaven. What happened here? I believe this is a spontaneous prayer. This is where he's in the midst of a situation. He doesn't have time to get down on his knees before the Lord and get alone with the Lord. He's been there, and we'll see that as we go on. But there's times when we just lift up that request spontaneously, instantaneously before our God, and say, Lord, help me now. Help me. Lord, I need you. I need you now. And I think this is what we see in this particular time. No time for a lengthy prayer, but a prayer from the heart, from a prayer from the heart that is heard in heaven. Does the Lord hear those kind of prayers? One commentator wrote, like a clear bell on a crisp, clear morning, the Lord hears those kind of prayers of his people. As if it was shouted from the housetop by 1,000 voices, the Lord hears the prayer of his people. Is the Lord's ear heavy that it cannot hear? No, the Lord's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. That quote is from Isaiah chapter 59, where this is in a different circumstance. That comes from a quote where the Lord had not worked on the behalf of the people. That's a quote in Isaiah 59, and if you look there in the first two verses, it says, is the Lord's ear heavy that he cannot hear? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is it his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Yes, the Lord can hear, and the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. In the context of Isaiah 59, though, the Lord did not, he said, because, in verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sometimes we say, it doesn't seem like the Lord heard my prayer. And sometimes it's true that the Lord has not listened to your prayer. And it's because of the sin, it's because of the wickedness that's in our own hearts that we've not turned from and turned unto him. But Nehemiah was in fellowship with God. The Lord was waiting to hear his prayer. The Lord was ready to show his face on behalf of Nehemiah. Did you think about that? What if this had been you in that situation? You don't have time to go back and say, oh, well, I got a need here. Boy, I better get right with the Lord. I better get my fellowship restored to the Lord because I'm going to need the Lord's help. We have seen Nehemiah here. We have seen him before the Lord. We have seen his heart that is there pleading before the Lord. When this spontaneous prayer comes, you have a man here whose heart is right with God, and you have a Lord that is ready to hear. Not only is his ear heavy, not only is it not heavy that it cannot hear, not only is his hand not shortened that it cannot save, but his iniquities have not separated between him and his God. I think that's when I look through this passage of Scripture, I think it just shows the importance of, you know, we use the term, keep a short account with God. You know, don't allow things to build up. When there is sin, when it comes into your life, confess it, turn from it, and come to your Lord and seek his strength for his help. Don't continue on. We need the Lord. We need the Lord every day. We need him every moment. And those times come. Those times come. Nehemiah wasn't expecting it at this moment. But all of a sudden, he's called on the carpet. Why is your countenance sad, Nehemiah? Why are you sad here in my presence? Well, he gives that honest answer. Here's the reason. Here's the reason, King Artaxerxes. And he says, what would you like me to do? Wow. So immediately, we see that prayer before the Lord. And then when we come to here in verse 5 and down through verse 5 through verse 8, it's pretty, you know, Nehemiah, he knows what his request, what he wants to do, what he wants to ask before the king. It seems like we've got a prepared response. He prays to the Lord, Lord, help me. I need your help. I need the king's help. Lord, even that he would let me go and that he would help in this. And so he prays immediately to the God of heaven. And then following comes out these words of his mouth when he says, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that you would send me to Judah, send me to the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. He had thought for those months upon what he would say if this moment came. He was ready. He was ready himself to give up, to leave his own home, to go and to give up of himself to go and do this. It's interesting, there's that one statement there, the queen was there. It doesn't say here why she is mentioned being there beside Artaxerxes. But maybe this is part of what the Lord used in this situation. You know, maybe he's sitting there and she's nudging him. You need to give him what he needs. He's a good man, you know. I mean, you don't know. It doesn't say, but there's some reason the Lord wanted us to know that the queen was there beside him when that took place. In leading the king to hear the request that Nehemiah had was making. So we ask, this is what I would like you to do. If I've found favor in your sight, would you be willing to send me send me to Judah, send me to this city of my fathers where they're buried. Let me go and build up this place that is tore down and the gates burned with fire. And so it's just like Artaxerxes says, well, how long will you be gone? How long will you be gone? How long shall be thy journey? When will you return? And so it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. There we see the king responding. There we see him asking the questions, and then Nehemiah goes on and he asks some more. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And so there's a recognition that he knew of the dangers. He knew of the dangers that was there. I think he also knew of the hatred that was for his own people. He knew the opposition that he would come upon. And he also says there, and let there be a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give of the palace which appertaineth to the house, for the walls of the city, and for the house that I shall enter in, so that there would be that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates. And so he asked for that as well. One of the first things that you might ask, well, now wait a minute, didn't Ezra not ask for being conveyed over to the way when he went because of the response of the king? Yes, Ezra did, but here and under. I think Nehemiah didn't feel he was under those same constraints. He didn't feel that it would be something that the king would take wrong but it would just be a normal thing for his protection. So you know, as we mentioned before with Ezra, that's one of those situations that in Ezra's situation, just for as he understood the situation he was in, that though it was not wrong to have protection by the king, yet he wasn't going to ask for it because of some of his own ministering to the king. Nehemiah, it was not the same situation in either case. It wasn't right or wrong, but it was for the protection of the testimony that Ezra did not ask for. But Nehemiah said, you know, if you can give me the letters and that they may then get me over until I come into Judah. As we see as we go on, that was something certainly that I think was needed, especially when they came there to that place of conveying him over. But we'll see that as we go on here. He asked for the timber. He knew a little of what was needed. He knew the gates were burned with fire. When we come further on in this chapter, we'll find that he needs to go and look over it personally to find out for sure what all is needed. But he knew some of what was there, and so the resources of the land are going to be needed. Here's a man who was praying in faith during those months. He was preparing for what he would answer when the Lord answered his prayer. We see Nehemiah as a man as he prayed during that period of time. As he prayed there, it was a period of between 3 and 4 months that we have between the time that this word first came to him in chapter 1 until this time that he's before Artaxerxes. I think he did everything in his power to prepare for when the opportunity came. It kind of reminds me of the Apostle Paul when he talked about there in Romans, when he says, I am a debtor both to the Jew and to the Greek. He recognized the great need that there was before his people. And so he said, so much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. So much as is in me. I thought of that when I was thinking of Nehemiah. It seems like he, as much for all that he could do until there would be some answer to his prayer, for all that he would do, he was ready. He prepared his heart. He prepared for what he would say. There are those things that the Lord has laid upon your heart. There are those things that we ought each one to be recognizing the debt that we have to other folks. Even as Nehemiah had a debt to his brethren and felt like he wanted to do what he could do. We have the debt of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So much as is in you, are you ready to proclaim God's word? One of the things that the young people are doing in preparation for their ministry trip here in a few weeks is they're doing what they can to prepare their hearts, to be ready for what is before them. Sometimes we use the term, we just go by the seat of our pants. I'll see what happens when I get there. But so much as is in us, we ought to seek to be ready for what the Lord has before us. I believe Nehemiah was in that situation. And so when we come here, we see then that answer to Nehemiah's prayer at the end of verse 8. At the end of verse 8, it says, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Nehemiah's prayer that he'd prayed those months, wondering when, if the Lord was going to use him for this or not, but the king granted his request. And he says it was according to the good hand of my God upon him. He didn't say, well, because I was such a good cupbearer and because I was doing everything just right, because I was such a good guy, the Lord did that. No, he just says the Lord did it. He didn't say because my arguments were so good about what it was like back in my land. He said it was the good hand of my God upon me. Amen. Nehemiah recognized the hand of God. Do you recognize the hand of God in your life? Or do you kind of take credit for it yourself? Recognize the blessings of what we have. If If we have a good crop this year, it'll be because of the good hand of our God. You know, we were praying for rain because our land is really dry. And it's still dry over a great portion of our nation today, at least as far as I know. I think what the news has said. I just was such a good farmer. I was just such a good gardener. No, because of the good hand of our God. How we must recognize that we want to honor the Lord. Recognize and put the Lord first, because it is His doing that is going to accomplish, if anything is going to be accomplished. No, Nehemiah didn't say, mine own hand hath brought me to this. That's what the Lord said would happen back, remember, in the time of Gideon, when the Lord said, if I gave you with all of those soldiers victory, He said, you would say it was my own hand that saved me. And certainly Gideon had to recognize God's dealing. We need to recognize God's dealing. Nehemiah recognized God's dealing. It was the good hand of my God upon me. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. That's the statement that John made, I believe, when they were in the ship with the Lord. Remember, they were fishing and they weren't getting anything. And the Lord was there on the shore, and the Lord says, have you caught anything? No, we haven't caught a thing. Well, put your nets on the other side. And they do, and they catch a great bunch of fish. John says, it's the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. So they had, we see there in verse 9, then we see in answer to the prayer that they have, a safe trip. Verse 9, then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. They come here to the river, which must have been the river Euphrates, and it was at that point where they transferred the authority over, where Artaxerxes' men, their captains, gave the letters over and transferred them over to those there in the land of Judah. A transfer of responsibility for their safety. Isn't it interesting that the Lord gave safety? Sanballat there, we see them, we've seen them before. Sanballat and Tobiah, they are grieved. They are grieved that, but what can they do? They are servants under Artaxerxes, and they are given letters from him, you bring them safely into Jerusalem. They are grieved that ones are coming to seek the welfare of those there in Israel, because they would seek to have them thrown out and destroyed, but God gives safety to them. It grieved him exceedingly that there came a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. The Moabites and the Ammonites were always adverse, and there was ever a hatred for Israel. They envied anything that came toward the happiness of them. But these instruments of Satan, who've been hindering and oppressing the Jews there at Jerusalem, they're made to convey them over safely. We've quoted the verse a number of times. We rejoice today in hearing of those, some that were given safety in this week. Safety is of the Lord. And we recognize and we need the Lord's protections. And we need that safety that comes from the Lord. As we come to this, what have we seen today? I think, first of all, be prepared for spontaneous prayer. Have your heart right as Nehemiah did, that you can spontaneously come before the Lord, that he's there to hear and to answer your prayer because you've got a right relationship with him. You've maintained that. You've cultured that. You've kept right before the Lord. When you've sinned, you've come before him and you've confessed it, and you're seeking his strength and help so that the Lord's ear is not heavy, that it won't listen to your prayer. Be prepared for spontaneous prayer. Be prepared for the response that the Lord will give. So much as is in you, be ready. Be ready to declare the gospel. Be ready to give an answer to those that ask of you. Some of you are going to be serving this week at the fair. You don't know who's going to come by. You don't know what kind of things you're going to be faced with, what kind of questions you'll be asked or whatever. But have a heart that so much as is in you, you are ready. Some will be serving at camp in this week. And speaking of that, it'd be good to have some testimonies tonight those of you who served and those of you who were served. To give testimony tonight in our evening service of camp. But anyway, then be prepared for answered prayer. How the Lord, what a blessing it is to know that the Lord hears and answers prayer, even as he answered the prayers here of Nehemiah. It's the same God that we serve today, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May we serve our Lord with all of our heart. In our next message, we'll look at seeing that leading by wisdom and faith that Nehemiah as he leads. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for ministering to our hearts. Lord, help us to take lesson from this man of the Old Testament that loved you, that prepared his heart before thee, that, Lord, that you heard and answered his prayer. Lord, may we be those kind of people, Lord, that we would have a burden for your work, that we would have hearts prepared before thee. And then, Lord, that we would see some of those answers that you do in your own time. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Take your hymnals, if you will.